I hope you wet your fingers a little bit. We're going to be looking at some scriptures. I don't think it's too many. I'll wait for you. Make sure everybody gets there. If not, I just have to read them. There's just such good scriptures for what I want to preach about. Be encouraged. You don't have to be fearful today. You don't have to, you can be encouraged in the Word of God. And I'm not just talking about ISIS and all that. There's just so much going on in the world today. This world is upside down. Good is evil, evil is good. But for the Christian, God has not changed one bit. From everlasting to everlasting, He's the same. Amen. So, I just want to encourage you. For the last 3 weeks, it's been on revival. Maybe we're having a little mini revival in your heart. I hope so. Because that's what we preached on, personal revival. But turn to Joshua chapter 1. Let me read 9 verses to you. Joshua chapter 1. And in verse 1 it says this, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." As I said, for the last 3 weeks, I preached on revival. And, you know, I'm going to leave abusing grace. I'll leave that to Pastor Craig when he comes back. God just laid it on my heart to try to encourage you today. And the only thing I can encourage you with are the Scriptures. And so today, we're going to be looking at some Scriptures that encourage us. And, you know, we have the victory in Jesus Christ. If you're saved here today, you already have the victory. You have all the promises of God in your Bible. And what He says, He means. God doesn't say anything that He doesn't mean. When God speaks, He means it. And I want us to be encouraged today. What does that mean? It just means to increase courage. Amen? It means to be strong. It means to have strength. Where? Not out here, in your muscles. Right, Bozzy? Not here. In here. This is where we need the strength today, Christian. In our hearts. Courage in our hearts. Peace in our hearts. The flesh does not need encouragement. It knows full well what it wants to do. It wants to sin against God. And that's where your sin nature resides, there in your flesh. Don't encourage your flesh. Encourage your heart. It's our soul and spirit that needs courage and strength. Down in our heart is where we get discouraged. It's where we get fearful. So that's where we need to be encouraged. Psalm 34:4. "I sought the Lord and He heard me." David said, "I sought the Lord and He heard me." I could stop right there and preach that God hears the Christian when He calls upon His name. "And He delivered me from all my fears." Praise the Lord. God is waiting and ready to deliver us from all our fears. If we'll seek Him, He'll hear you. And He'll deliver you from all your fears. We have so much in Jesus Christ. We live in a fallen, sick, dark, hopeless world. And it can get pretty discouraging and kind of fearful at times. Let me remind you of this. Colossians 3:3 says, "For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God." Now you say, that doesn't sound very encouraging. Let me tell you, if you live opposite of that world out there, if you don't live like that sin-cursed world out there, then you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. I can't think of a safer place to be than in Christ who's in God. I'm hidden. My life is hidden with Jesus Christ. I don't have to live like the world anymore. Think about this. The Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Try to come up with an enemy or a foe that can beat you when you're standing with God. If God be for us, who can be against us? Tell me who's bigger than God. Tell me who God's afraid of. God's never been fearful a day in His life. And He's my God and He's your God today if you've been born again. Let me encourage you with these truths. We're saved. We're saved. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5. And in verse 9 it says this. 1 Thessalonians, back in the T's with Timothy, Titus. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. Who's he talking to? Christians. But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, what's the next word? Comfort. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, edify one another, even as also ye do. Think of the words that God has told us. He says, God hath not appointed us to wrath. We are not under the wrath of God anymore. Those that are unsaved are under the wrath of God right now. And when they die, they will experience it right before them, in the physical, in hell. But we're not under the wrath of God anymore. We receive Christ as our personal Savior. We're saved. No matter what happens in this world, I'm going to heaven. I'm saved. No matter what happens. You kill me, I win. Simple as that. I'm gone. You know, Paul said, come before winter to Timothy. Come before winter. He knew his time was almost up. But how many times did Paul say, I would rather be up there than down here. But it's needful for you. I just want to go home. Now look, I don't want to rush my going home. But when I go home, I'm going home. It's not like I'm going somewhere that I'm not familiar with. I know what heaven's like. I've read it in the book. He says, we are saved. The world may be out of control, but God has a plan. God hasn't let one bead of sweat, like I got this preacher sweat going on here. God has not had one bead of sweat roll down His face, not once. He's never wrung His hands. He's never wondered, what am I going to do now? You know, that's not God. He has a plan in a fallen world. And for us, heaven awaits, not the wrath of God. God is not going to let His bride go through the wrath of God, that tribulation. Take comfort in these words, it says. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together. Edify yourself. Talk about it. Talk about that with each other because it's comforting to know that we're going to be in heaven together someday. That this world can't do anything to the child of God that God doesn't allow into our lives. Turn to John chapter 14. We have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. John chapter 14 and in verse 16. John chapter 14 and verse 16. And I will pray the Father. Who's talking? Jesus. Jesus praying. I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye shall know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Turn to chapter 16 and in verse 7. Chapter 16 and in verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. That is a promise from Almighty God. And that promise was extended to us at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came in fullness. And every child of God, every person who becomes born again at that very moment, is indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God, who fills us and seals us till the day of redemption. Jesus said, I'm going to ask the Father, I'm going to pray the Father that He'll give you another Comforter. You know what that tells me? Jesus was the first Comforter. He was right there with His disciples. And He said, just like I was with you, I'm going to send another Comforter to be with you. And He is with us, Christian, all the time. He is never not with you. The reason that we don't experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit and the peace and rest of the Holy Spirit in our lives is because we allow sin in our hearts and into our lives. And He's shy and He moves away. He won't be involved in that. And He waits for us and tries to convince us of sin. We have a promise from the lips of Jesus Christ that He would send the Holy Spirit. And He has. And He lives in me and He lives in you if you're born again here. That should encourage you. We have the book. Romans chapter 15. Turn to the right. Two books. Acts, Romans. Romans 15. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. I hope you read your Old Testament. I hope you spend a lot of time in it. It's great stories there. Wonderful truths and principles. In Romans 15, 4 it says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, that means in the past, were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. How else are you going to know about God unless you get into this book? This book is the only place to learn about God. This book is the only place to have comfort. Right here are the words of Almighty God that comfort us. When God makes a promise, He keeps it. And this is where I learned about it. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were for me. They were for my learning, and they helped me to know who God is. The Bible is for our comfort. Read it. Believe it. Obey it. Proverbs 30, verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. My friend, if somebody's firing some fiery darts at you like the devil, throw up the shield of faith. Throw up the Bible. Hide God's word in your heart like it was said, that I might not sin against Him. I can fend off those fiery darts from Satan. With this book, not with any other book can do that. We have the Bible. In your laps is the very Word of God. We ought to be encouraged by that. Thankfully, it's in our English language and we can understand it. For 400 years, God has given us an English Bible. Praise the Lord. We have access to God and His throne of grace anytime and anywhere. And we looked at that a little bit in Hebrews 4, 16, this throne of grace, this place we can go to and go right to our Father, Abba Father. He's right there. Run right into the throne room of God. It's all that cloth, that curtain's been ripped asunder. And I can go right in and access God at any time through the blood of Jesus Christ. Acts 16, 25 says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Where were they? They were in prison. And they accessed Almighty God. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Why? Because they had access to a throne of grace. No matter where you are, you can launch a prayer. I can launch a prayer 3,000 miles to New Jersey back in America for one of my grandchildren. Bounces off the greatest satellite there ever was. God's throne of grace. And I could pray for my grandchildren as if I was right there with them. They couldn't be more sheltered than when Grandpa and Grandmom are praying for them. And you too. You know. We ought to be on our knees. We have access to a throne of grace to find help in a time of need. Just when we need it. That ought to encourage us. Remember God and His promises and be encouraged. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 3. Deuteronomy chapter 3. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy chapter 3. And in verse 28 says this, but charge Joshua. Charge him. A charge is to impose a task or a duty on someone. All right? Entrust them with this commission. But charge Joshua and, what's the next word? Encourage him. Because when he finds out what the task is, he's going to need some encouragement. Charge Joshua and encourage him. Strengthen him, Moses, he's saying, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. Moses was going to see it, but he wasn't going to take him in. Moses struck the rock, did not sanctify God in the eyes of the people, and God said, you're not going to go in, Moses. You can see it from Mount Pisgah, but you're not going in. That's for Joshua. And encourage him, because he's going to need it. He's going to need it. Before Moses even dies, God says encourage him. Why? Because Moses was going to die. And Joshua was going to have to take over. A great leader was going to die. But not God. God wasn't going to die. Joshua would still have his God to lean on. Psalm 118:8 says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And let me tell you this, you follow your pastor. You follow Pastor Craig all the way as he follows God. And he would say the same thing. If he doesn't follow God, you need to follow God, not Pastor Craig. Or anybody else that you admire as a Christian man or woman. Follow them as they follow God. Follow them all the way and obey them that have the rule over you. But the moment they depart from God, you keep your eyes on God. You keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. Because it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Man can and always will let you down. We can lose someone in our life that we looked up to. Even in our own families. That we clung to, that we needed, that gave us counsel. And now they're gone. Or we're not able to talk with them and be with them. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's always there. You'll always have him. A great leader was going to die. Joshua needed to be encouraged because he could have got discouraged. A great task lie ahead of him. But it wasn't too big for God. As I said, God doesn't wring his hands and wonder what he's going to do. He has an absolute control of this world. There's not one thing that's happening that he has not allowed and is working his will. We can get overwhelmed. But God never gets overwhelmed, Leo. He's never overwhelmed about what's going on in the world. He may be grieved about it, but he knows what he's going to do. He has a plan. A couple million people, depending on Joshua. That would be a bit overwhelming, wouldn't it? If you had a couple million people depending upon you, wasn't too big for God. God's got 7 billion on this planet, and he knows exactly what's going on. See, when things look overwhelming, they're not overwhelming for God. Our faith needs to be in God Almighty. This world may have turned its back on it. I turned my back on it for 35 years. I'm glad somebody told me how to be saved. And then I turned, I repented, and put my faith in Jesus Christ. And I've never been overwhelmed in the sense of looking to Him. He's always known what to do in my life. It was for me to listen to Him. And you know what? An unpredictable future. Joshua really didn't know what was going to happen next. But it wasn't unpredictable for God. God knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew exactly what he wanted to do. And you know what? He knows what he wants to do in your life. He has a personal plan and will for your life. And all we have to do is say, Lord, what do you want for my life? We don't know what's coming. We don't know what's around the corner. I couldn't tell you what's going to happen one second until it happens. I don't know. But God does. And that can make people fearful. You don't know what ISIS is going to do. You don't know what all the refugees flooding into Europe are going to do. You don't know what's going on with Iran and their nuclear reactors. And come on, the world has no idea what it's doing. But God does. God is not sweating any of it. He has a plan. God knows. And let me tell you this, he cares. You ought to read Matthew chapter 6 every morning and say, God knows when a sparrow falls. He said, take no thought for what you will eat, what you drink, what you wear, for your heavenly Father already knows what you need. He already knows, and he's already provided it. Because God loves us, and he cares about us, and we don't need to be discouraged. Believe and know that you have nothing to fear. Joshua could have been afraid. Go back to Joshua. Just turn to the right. There, one book. Joshua to the right, one book. Look back in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. Look what it says. God asks a question. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Don't be afraid. God is right there with him. There is nothing in the world to fear when God is with you. Fear can paralyze you. And God has never been afraid. You can be afraid to witness. You're afraid to give somebody a tract. You're afraid to serve God in Sunday school. You're afraid that he might tell you to go to the mission field. You're afraid he might tell you to serve in some capacity in the church. And that fear doesn't come from God. Not at all. God wants to equip us. He has a will for your life. That fear paralyzes you. It could have paralyzed Joshua for the same reasons that he could have been discouraged. There's a lot of issues that happen in our life that can cause us to fear. So what do? Walk around fearful, paralyzed, not knowing what to do? Go to God. He has the answer. Fear makes problems bigger than they really are, too. The little molehill turns into a mountain because we're so afraid of it. And you know what? Most of the things we worry about never even happen. They don't even come to pass. You ever been there, worried about something, and then it didn't happen? You went, I'm glad all that worry got rid of that. Whew. You know, I'm going to worry some more on the next one. I'm going to worry that one right out. That worry, all that did was paralyze you, make that problem so big, and it never even happened. Never even came to pass. You know, fear comes from a wrong focus. You got to keep your eyes on Jesus Christ, not on the problem. That's not helping anything. Ask God, what do I do about the problem? Because God probably allowed the problem, well, he did, into your life for a reason. God, how do I get through this? God's not leaving you alone. He's going through it with you. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ and ask God what to do. And fear makes us think we're alone, that we're all by ourselves when we're not. That's the lie of the devil. Ever since I got saved, God has been with me. He lives inside of me. And that's why he can say in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I am right there with you. Fear makes you think you're alone. That's a lie of the devil. And that no one cares. That's a lie of the devil. That's a lie because God cares. And you know what? So do others. There may be some Christians praying for you. And you're going through something and it's fearful and you feel all alone. Man, you got God and there may be 10 Christians praying for you. That's an army. You're doing all right. You're not alone. Tell the devil to take a hike, get out of the room while you're praying. Go find somebody else to bother. I'm talking to God, and everything's okay. Because me and God are having a conversation right now, and we don't need you here. The devil's just a liar. He never tells the truth. He never tells the truth. And take this to the bank. Titus 1:2 says God cannot lie. It doesn't say he will not lie. It says he cannot lie. He can't, even if he wanted to, and he doesn't want to, and he can't, and I love every part of that, that he can't do it, and he doesn't want to do it. God always tells the truth. Some promises from the Bible. Look at this. I have to read it up here. Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee, be not dismayed. For I am thy God, I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I love those three I wills. God says, I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. So, don't fear, and just know that I'm with you. That should encourage us. No matter what we're going through. And 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Would you turn over there? Because I want to show you 2 Timothy chapter 1. I want to show you the verse before that. 2 Timothy. If you got to Thessalonians last time, just go another couple books to the right and you'll find 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Now this verse here is preceded by verse 6, obviously. 2 Timothy 1:6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. He's talking to this young pastor, Timothy. Stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Then he says, for, here's the reason, Timothy, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear. I think Timothy was a little bit overwhelmed, maybe in his ministry. I thought Timothy might have had some fear and was like, trying to talk to Paul, what do I do now? You know? And Paul said, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, Timothy, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Timothy, get on with it. I want to put thee in remembrance. Stir it up. Christian, stir up the gift that's in thee by the Holy Ghost. Put your back into it. Get into your ministry and fulfill your ministry. Because we don't have the spirit of fear. That wasn't given to you by God. We've been given power. Power. I can do it. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So tell me, what do you think you cannot do? Tell it to God. If God gives you a ministry and lays something on your heart, tell God you can't do it. Have that conversation with God. After you have the conversation with God, then have the conversation with the pastor. Say, I'm okay, I can do it. I just read that verse that you told me to read. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. God's not going to ask you to do something He's not equipping you to do. You know that, Andrew. When God called you and you finally went, what? Do what? And then He equipped you for it too. God calls and He equips missionaries, preachers, and anyone else that's serving. That's what we are, just servants of God. What do you think you can't do? In Acts 1:8, they thought they couldn't witness. And you're sitting here and you're wondering, I've never knocked on a door, I've never opened my mouth once, never gave somebody a tract, and I'm not going to listen to Brother Eric, I'm not going to come out. Well, then you just called God a liar. Because Acts 1:8 says, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. You can do it. In fact, you have the power of God in you to witness. That's why we're still here. Otherwise, what are we doing here? Having church? We just having church? There's a whole lost world out there. And God says, go out and tell them about Jesus Christ. Go out and tell them. Because I've given you power to do it. And love. The love of Christ. A love that is higher and stronger and deeper than any love we ever knew until we got saved. Then we realized how good God was. It was something you can't work this love up. This love is from God. This is a fruit of the Spirit. You can't love like God. God has to love through you. It's a fruit of the Spirit. God's love is greater than your fear. Turn to the right, almost to the last book of the Bible. You'll find 1 John. If you get to Revelation, go the other way a book or two. 1 John chapter 5, all the way to the back. First John chapter 4 and in verse 18, there is no fear in love. You have fear, it means the love of God is not in you. Something else in you. Sin will cause fear. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment, pain and anxiousness and anxiety. It hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We're talking about God's love here. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And when you're walking with God and you got your life right with God, the love of God is in you. It's the first fruit of the Spirit. Love and joy and peace. You see what comes from walking with God? From a relationship with God? Love, joy, and peace. Wow. Where's fear in that? God doesn't give us that spirit of fear. He gives us a spirit of love. This love is in you, and it casts out the torment of fear. And He gives us a sound mind. We have God's Word. As I already said, we have the Holy Bible right before us. And the Holy Bible tells us how to think. God's Word tells us that we need to renew our minds. We can't think like we used to think anymore. We have to think the way God thinks. God has showed us how to think. Renew our thinking. It's different. And that's what gives us a serious, sound mind that we don't have to fret about things anymore. So now, the message. What drives away discouragement and fear? You see that there? An ongoing relationship with Almighty God. You don't have to turn to Joshua 1 because it says, the Lord spake unto Joshua. When Moses was going off the scene, God spoke to Joshua. He didn't speak to anybody else. He spoke to Joshua because Joshua had an ongoing relationship with Moses' God. It was his God too. Do you see? Who do you turn to in a crisis? Who do you turn to when the rug is pulled out from under you? Who's your first thought? What's the first name that comes to your mind? It better be Jesus Christ. It better be God Almighty. Is Jesus your all in all? Is He everything to you? Because you have to have that prior ongoing relationship where it's almost been tested and tried. He's never failed me. He's always been there. I know Him. I'm saved. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? With God through Jesus Christ? Not do you know Him up here. I knew Him up here for 35 years coming out of the Methodist Church, which meant absolutely nothing to me. They didn't tell me I needed to be saved. They told me I was a Methodist. I was a Methodist going to hell. Why? Because I never received Christ as my Savior. But I knew about God up here. Now I know Him in here. Now I know Him. I've had an ongoing relationship with Him for the past 25 years. He's closer to me than my wife or anybody else. He's right there with me. And He's right there with you too. I'm not saying anything that isn't true in your life too. He's close to you. I could give you... Let's go back here. Let's look at a couple of these. Just go to Numbers 27. Numbers 27. Come on, we're almost getting through this now. Numbers 27. You can do it. In Exodus 17, you remember Joshua was having a brawl with the Amalekites while Moses' hands were held up and all that. And God said to Moses, make sure you rehearse in Joshua's ears what I'm telling you today. Write it in a book as a memorial and rehearse it in Joshua's ears. Because Joshua had an ongoing relationship with Moses as God. It was his God also. In Numbers 27 and verse 18, and the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thy hand upon him. Encourage him. Take him up on the mountain with you. Go back to Deuteronomy, the next book over there. Deuteronomy, to your right. Deuteronomy chapter 3. Deuteronomy chapter 3. Deuteronomy chapter 3 and verse 21. And I commanded Joshua at that time, saying, thine eyes have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto thee, two kings. So shall the Lord do unto all the kingdoms whither thou passest. Ye shall not fear them, for the Lord your God, He shall fight for you. That's good. That's good preaching. And you know what? Verse 28, we've already read it. Encourage Joshua. Strengthen him. Help him. Joshua had an ongoing relationship with God. He knew God. Do you know God this morning? Not up here, down in your heart. Do you know Him today? Joshua knew the God of Moses. It was his God. I'm not just talking about knowing Him up in your brain. I'm talking about knowing Him in your heart because salvation changes everything. Once a person has forgiveness of God through His Son, Jesus Christ, believing that He died on that cross for your sins, and you ask Him for forgiveness, say, Jesus Christ, come into my life and save me. I'm repenting of my sins. I'm putting my faith in You. At that very moment, a relationship begins. and an ongoing relationship because he saves you. Romans, turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and in verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have, what's the next word? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. Not under the wrath of God, peace with God. It wasn't always like that, Tunde, because in verse 9 it says, much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we should be saved by His life. It wasn't always like that. For me, I was the enemy of God. And I was under the wrath of God. But now, I have peace with God. I not only have peace with God, that's salvation. I have the peace of God. I have that. Turn to the right. Go on. Philippians. The scripture here ought to burn in every Christian's heart. All right, I have peace with God through salvation. But I need the peace of God right now. Okay. What does the Bible say? Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 6. You ought to memorize these two verses. Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 6. Be careful for nothing. What's the word careful mean? Full of care. I like that. That's exactly what it means. You can say when you're feeling anxious and, you know, upset and fretting, it means full of care. The cares of this world, you're just full of care in your heart. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, with a grateful heart, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What are you fretting about? What are you worrying about? What are you full of care about? Take it to God. And God will give you peace. Ask Him to take it from you. Through believing prayer, God removes the doubt and the fear and replaces it with peace. I know I could give you story after story in my life as a young Christian, testing this out in a sense, as if God said, go ahead, test me. Don't worry, I'm going to be there for you. I had to go through some trials just becoming a Christian and bringing all that baggage from my sin-cursed life into that new relationship. But God was there every step of the way. That's all I can say. I didn't know what was going to happen. And I just trusted God, and God came through every time. It may not have been the way I thought, but He always got glorified in my life because I just trusted in Him. And He did good for me. He did good for me. He was good to me. But God removes the doubt and fear. These are priceless scriptures. Go to John chapter 14. Come on, you're almost out of having to look at scriptures now. But you only got a few left, really. John chapter 14. These are priceless. John chapter 14 and verse 27. Jesus is speaking to His disciples. They're still in the upper room, I believe, here. He's only hours from the cross. He's only hours from the cross, and He's showing them how to have peace. Jesus Christ wrestled in the garden, but He still had peace because He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And He had peace. And look what He says to His disciples in verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Christian, be encouraged today. Our God is a God of peace to His children, and He wants to give you peace. We don't have to worry and fret. Just turn over to John chapter 16. John 16, verse 33. These things, 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in Me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. How does a Christian overcome the world? By faith. Trust Him. Trust Him. He said He'll give us peace. Not as the world giveth. Did you see the world's peace lately? Go look at Fox News or go open the paper and look at the paper headlines and see how much peace that come up, is coming up in the world. There is no peace. There will be peace someday when the Prince comes back. The Prince of Peace, He'll bring it with Him. Because He's going to rule with a rod of iron for 1,000 years. Not the devil. The devil is in hell for that 1,000 years. I don't know why I said that. I think I just read that somewhere. Some guy thought it. I think that it's a Seventh-day Adventist. I actually think that Satan's going to rule for 1,000 years. That's not Satan's rule. Satan's experiencing hell during that time. It's Jesus Christ that will be ruling and reigning for those 1,000 years. But we can have peace in the midst of whatever you're going through. You can have peace. Matthew. Back three books to Matthew. First book of the New Testament. Matthew chapter 11. I won't put Dennis on the spot. Dennis Lenihan always quotes this to me, but I won't put him on the spot. But this is three great verses of Scripture. Matthew 11:28. Matthew chapter 11 and in verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let me ask you something. What burdens are you carrying that you don't have to carry? That Jesus wants to carry for you? What's got you all worried? What's got you fearful and discouraged that you can't give to the Lord Jesus Christ and walk with Him, get in the yoke with Him and walk with Him and learn about Him, learn about God through His Bible. And He gives you rest. I like the word, rest. Sunday afternoon, rest. Until you come back Sunday night. That's what God does. He gives you rest in your heart, though. You walk with Him and you learn of Him, and He'll give you rest. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You know that verse. All your care upon Him. I always look at it as Jesus has got big shoulders. I can throw it on Him because I can't handle it anymore, Lord. Would You take this care, this worry that I have? Will You take it? Why? Because You care for me. You know why He cares? Because He loves me. That's why He cares. And love casteth out that fear and that torment. I'm going to throw it on Jesus. Don't be fearful from the cares. Cast it on Jesus because He loves you. And He wants to take that care from you. The presence of God, you don't have to turn to Joshua. But in Joshua 1:5, the presence of God, He said, I will be with thee. I will be with thee, Joshua. Do you know how God is so near to you? Not even a prayer away. He's right there. He lives in me. He's present in me. His presence. Knowing He is there should prompt us to live like He is there. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because God lives in you, Christian, you ought to live like God lives in you. Because He is right there. That statement alone should change our life. Two more scriptures I want you to turn to. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. Some of you know this scripture. Maybe it's your life verse. Isaiah 43, let's read verse 1. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. His presence. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. You know, in verse 1 there, it says, O Israel, put your name in there. O Geraldine, fear not. Leo, fear not. Put your name in there. Because it says, "For I have redeemed thee. Selene, I bought you," he said. "You're mine. Don't fear. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." And when you go through troubles and the fire and the floods, I'm going to be right there with you. That's a God that I love and you love. That encourages me. What have we to fear in this world? And when something bad happens and someone, I don't know, we die, we go to heaven. I really think it's a win-win situation, Christian. You can't beat it. No matter what the circumstances are, where you find yourself, no matter where you are, God is there. And I could read a bunch of scriptures, but I won't. Turn over to Psalm 16:11. Someone sent me this, well, sent Kathy this scripture a few days ago, and I already had it in my notes, and I thought, the Lord definitely wants us to hear this. In Psalm 16, right in the middle of your Bible is the Psalms. Find verse 16, chapter 16, I'm sorry, verse 11. Look at verse 11. "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Do you see that? In thy presence is fullness of joy. But you know what? In order to get there, in order to experience that closeness of God, we must take the verse in its entirety. Now look at the verse. How can I know the path of life? The verse says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life." How can I know the path of life? Come on, church. Where do I find the path of life? In the Bible. That's going to show me the path of life. In the Bible. So I have to be in my Bible. Why is the Bible so important? I didn't know who God was until I was shown in the Bible. I didn't know to come to Ireland as a missionary until God showed me in the Bible. I didn't know what God wanted me to do next till He showed me in the Bible. God doesn't go crossways from His Bible. If you're hearing something, anything different than what's in the Bible, you're not hearing from God. God doesn't speak apart from His Word. The Holy Spirit doesn't guide us apart from the Word of God. You'll have to find it in here. So how can I know the path of life? The Bible. How can we as believers be at His right hand? Honor comes from obedience. You have to believe it. You have to obey it. Now, if you want to be closer to God, then read the Bible and obey it. Trust and obey, there is no other way. Do you see how simple it is to have fullness of joy? Is to read your Bible and then obey it. That's what that verse is telling us. And I can have the presence of God. I can be closer to Him, draw closer to Him through obeying His Bible. Joshua needed to know the God who guided and protected and empowered Moses. And to do He was going to do the same for him. He did, and He will do it for you too. He'll do exactly as He could for Moses. There's nothing too hard for God. Those ought to be comforting words. Those ought to be something that sink down into our hearts. And finally, trusting Him. It's going to take some faith to trust Him. I'm not backing away like I'm nervous. I just want to make sure you see. "I will not fail thee," He said in Joshua 1:5. "I will not fail thee." I want to ask you, I've asked you before, tell me when God's failed you. Tell me when God has failed you. And I guarantee you, no one can tell me that God failed them. He may not have answered your prayer yet. He may not have answered it the way you wanted it. But God will never fail you. Never. God can't fail. I fail Him. When I don't trust Him, I fail Him. But He's never failed me. Trusting Him. Joshua did. "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Men, fathers, husbands, have you marked that down in your heart and in your life? "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." It wasn't long. Joshua was going off the stage. He'd led them into the land, been through all the battles. And he said, "Now, as for me and my house, I'm not serving the gods on the other side of the flood. I'm serving the God on this side, God Almighty. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Trust Him. Trust your whole house to God. Paul did. In 2 Timothy 4:7, he says, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul did. He went all the way until he finally penned that last epistle. Who knows? Might have only been hours away from having his head cut off. I almost think Paul was saying, I can't wait. I can't wait to see heaven and see Jesus, because he trusted in God. He fought a good fight. He finished his course, God's will for his life. It was because I kept the faith. I trusted him. I realized he never failed me. He'll never fail me. David trusted him. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. I don't know, there's 9-10 foot goon standing in front of you. What would you do? This slingshot isn't what brought the giant down. It was David's faith in his God that brought the giant down. And God said, take that little slingshot of yours that you used to run off the wolves from the sheep or the bears or whatever, and throw it into the skull of that 10-foot goon, and he's going to go down and you're going to chop his head off. Why? Because he was defying the armies of the living God. And David said, I'm going to trust him. He took 5 smooth stones and only took 1 to bring down the giant, because he trusted in God. The battle is the Lord's, verse 47 says. And the battle for you, the battle is the Lord's. Give it to him. Let him fight it. How about Daniel? My God hath sent his angel and shut the lion's mouths, that they have not hurt me. I think when Daniel was being lowered down into that hole, Lord, don't fail me now. I think he trusted in him. And them lions kind of backed up and they were in the presence of Daniel's God. And it's, whoa, that's our Creator. And they listened and they backed up. You know, King Darius, he had a rough night. Daniel didn't. You know what I'm talking about. King Darius had a rough night. He couldn't eat. He couldn't eat his Snickers. He couldn't have his M&Ms watching the tube. He was all upset. He couldn't keep his earbuds in and listen to his iPod. He didn't bring the music in. He was troubled all night. And Daniel was relaxing on a lion's belly. Just as calm. Why is that? Because he trusted in God. He says right there, God has sent his angel. I wonder who that angel was. And shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me. And then there's this Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In Daniel 3:17, if it be so, our God whom we serve, they had an ongoing relationship with him, is able to deliver us from the burning, fiery furnace. And that's a faith that brought a fourth man into that fire. That kind of faith brought Jesus into that fire with him. Now the people that threw him in there, they got burned. But they didn't even have the smell of smoke on them, because Jesus came into that fire with them and protected them. Now what fire are we going through that Jesus can't keep us from getting burned? Because he loves us. He loves you. He wants to have a personal relationship with you. And you can too. You can too. You can trust him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, if you know it, say it with me. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Trust in God. Don't think for yourself. Let God think for you. Get into this book. Say, God, what do you want for my life? What do you want to do? Because Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. We sing the song. All may change, but Jesus never changes. He's always the same. You can trust him. We can have peace with God and the peace of God. Be encouraged today, Christian. Look, our world is in turmoil. If you got your eyes on the world, your heart's going to be in turmoil. But our God is in absolute control of all things. He's in absolute control. This is all coming to an end. And I fear sooner than later, in the sense that I think he's on the doorstep. I really think time is coming to an end. The age of grace may be coming to an end. We might not be far from the tribulation, which we will not go through, by the way. We will be in heaven. But we got a judgment seat to look forward to. So we ought to be serving God right now. And a marriage supper. But let me just say this. The world is in absolute turmoil. But rest assured, be not discouraged or fearful. Why? Because you have a relationship with Him. Because you know Him. If you don't know Him, then you need to know Him. You need to say, I want to know Him today. He's always present. He's always close by, and He will never fail you. Be encouraged. Be encouraged, Christian. God loves us. Amen. Let's pray. Let's pray. Please, every head should be bowed and every eye should be closed. Don't be looking around, please. Just close your eyes and talk to God. I want to ask a question. I'd rather everybody just have their eyes closed and be dealing with their own heart before God. I want to ask you a question. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ personally as your Savior, you know about Him, you have a spiritual background, you've been to church, you may have been baptized at some point. I don't know all the things that could happen. You do good works, or you have some kind of sense that, oh, well, I think I know God and I'm okay. And you're not okay if you're not born again. You're not okay if you're not saved from the wrath to come. And I want to ask you this question. Do you want to be saved? Is there someone here today that wants to be saved, wants to know how to be born again? I'd be willing to take the Bible, take you aside, and show you how to be saved. You say, I don't know the God that you know. I know about Him, but I don't know Him like you know Him. How can I be saved? How can I be born again? Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I don't want to, don't raise your hand. I just want you to look up at me. Just open your eyes and just look up at me. I see one person looking at me. Now, don't look at me if you're already saved, but if you look at me if you'd want to be saved. You want to be saved. I see several eyes looking up at me here. Heavenly Father, I pray for those that looked up. I just wanted to acknowledge them before You. God, I pray You would open their hearts completely. And may the Holy Spirit of God convince them of personal sin, the righteousness of God, and the wrath to come. And Lord, that they would know that there is a God who wants to save their soul through His Son, Jesus Christ. And I pray that today, that salvation would take place. That today, those people would come and talk to me and say, I want to be saved. They wouldn't worry about who they came with. They wouldn't worry about anybody else. They would just worry about their own soul. Say, I want to be saved. How can I be saved? And Father, for every Christian, we need to put our backs to the service of God, be servants of God, put our backs into it like Paul told Timothy, stir it up and not be fearful. The world is going to hell in a handbasket, but Christians, we're the child of God. We don't have to be fearful. Let's go out and win them before it's too late. Father, please bless the invitation, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.